right, I invite your attention this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 28. Beginning in verse number 17. Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, we thank you today that we have the opportunity to come and assemble here in your house to sing the songs of Zion, to fellowship with your people, to gain insight into you and your word, and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, to thank you for every blessing of life that you've given unto us. We ask you now that you might go with us in this part of the service. You might speak to our hearts in a very special way through the Holy Spirit. And for all that's said and all that's done, may Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted. For it was him who loved us and gave himself for us. And in his precious holy name we pray. Amen and amen. One day a pastor was walking down the hall of the church on Sunday, and a little boy came out of the Sunday school room, and the pastor stopped him and said, Well, son, what did you study about in Sunday school this morning? The little boy looked up at him and he said, Well, we studied about God. And the preacher said, About God? He said, Yeah. He said, Well, son, I'll give you an apple if you can tell me where God is at. The little boy looked up at him and he said, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'll give you a bushel of apples if you can tell me where he's not at. So, you know, God is everywhere. And as we read this morning in the book of Matthew, of course, most of the time we focus on Jesus' commandment for us to go and teach and baptize all nations, called the Great Commission. And certainly today we need to fulfill the Great Commission of Christ. We need to be on a mission tonight to tell the world about Christ. But I want you to focus on what Jesus told his disciples here in verse number 20, where he said, And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. God, this morning, is everywhere. I read the other day a little saying, and it said, God is so high, you can't get over him. God is so low, you can't get under him. And God is so wide, you can't get around him. And I thought back many years ago when I played football, and we used to have a trap play, and on 28 trap, that meant the number two back went through the eight hole, and he went over the left tackle. And so we were playing this particular team, and what happens is the tackle fires out and hits the linebacker and leaves the defensive lineman wide open. But what he doesn't know, the guard's pulling around the other side and let him come through the hole and knock him down so the back can get through. The only problem we were having in this particular situation, they had a kid that was so big nobody couldn't block him. He did it, and he was so slow he was still standing in the hole when you got there. And you see this morning, it didn't matter what you did, he is always there. That's why the Lord is with us this morning. God is always there. The Lord is always with us today. Paul said that he said that he had never leave us and he had never forsake us this morning. If you notice in our text today, the Lord said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Sometimes we don't, and we have not focused many times upon little bits of scripture that mean so much today. And there's a little word there of two letters long, "Lo, lo, lo, I'm with you always." And the word "lo" today is an interjection. That means that it's placed there to exclaim and call attention to. It's kind of like the word "behold" today. It means take a careful note of what I'm saying to you. Just stop and for a little while think upon this today. You know, sometimes maybe we ought to just stop and think about this very simple little thought. "Lo," Jesus said, "now I'm going to call attention to what I'm about to say. I'm going to call attention to what I'm about to tell you. And what I'm about to tell you is something that is very, very, very important." And so think about that for just a moment. Jesus was exclaiming and pointing out something of great value to his disciples. And it'd be of great value to you and I this morning if we'll look at what Jesus is saying to all of us today. He said, "Lo, take careful note of what I'm about to tell you, because it'll give you great help in your everyday life. It'll give you great help as you travel life's journey. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world."
Amen.
You see, we find a great promise in these words. Jesus said, "I am." That's God's nature and God's name today. When Moses asked the Lord and said, "When I get to Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Say, I am sent you." He's the great I am. He's the one that has no beginning and has no end. He's the one today who is everlasting to everlasting. He is the one today who is the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is God this morning, and he is I am. And Jesus said, "I am." He equated himself, and he is God today. And we find this morning that the great promise that we're finding out here today is that God, and Jesus is saying, "I'm with you always." He is always with us. Think about that. In this age of chaos and confusion, of problems and troubles, of sorrows, of lies and hypocrisy and darkness, we find that Jesus makes a promise. He didn't say, "I'll only be with you in the summertime." Well, I love the summertime. I tell you, the older I get, the better I like it. Amen. I like it when the low's about 65. And the high is about 75. You don't have to use any of that high-priced electricity. Amen. You know, summertime's a wonderful time of the year. You know, that's the summertime of our lives. Sometimes we have those wonderful mountain peaks of life. We're in the summertime. He said, "Boy, God is really with us." But you know, the Lord didn't say, "I'll just be with you in the summertime." He said, "I'll be with you in the wintertime too." In those bleak days, when no matter, even if you open up the windows, it's still dark outside. It's still bleak and dreary. It's cold. And things are not as good as you really like them to be. But you see, the Lord said, hey, I'll be with you in the summertime. I'm going to be with you in the wintertime. I'll be with you in the spring, and I'll be with you in the fall. He said, I'll be with you just in the daytime. No, he didn't just say be with us in the daytime, did he? He said he'd be with us in the daytime, in the nighttime. There's never a time that God is not with us today. He walks with us and talks with us. I'm glad today that no matter where we go, God is with us. Amen. I mean, you can go to Alabama and the Lord's there. Surprising, but he is. Is he in Switzerland? Bruce went to Switzerland. He's over in Switzerland. Amen. He went right with you, didn't he? He even rode that airplane with you. He sure did. You know, I heard about the other day some folks were sitting on an airplane and that the pilot got on and came walking up with a sunglasses and a white cane. Here come the co-pilot behind him with a guide dog. And they thought, well, maybe this is just a joke. And about that time, that plane took off down the runway and they were going all at once, it looked like. And here was this big mountain coming at them, and all the passengers went to screaming about that time the plane went up. And the co-pilot looked over at the pilot and said, one of these days, them passengers ain't going to scream. You're going to kill all of us. I'm glad the Lord's with us in Switzerland, Mississippi, Alabama. No matter where we go, the Lord is always with us. Amen. Over in the book of Exodus, as the children of Israel are headed toward the promised land that God had promised them, of course, a lot of things begin to happen on the Exodus. And verse number 14 of Exodus 33, and the Lord speaking, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses makes a statement. And he said unto him, Moses said unto the Lord, if thy presence not go with me, carry us up not hence. You know what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go either. I don't want to go somewhere you're not going, Lord. I'm glad this morning that the Lord's with us, that his presence will always be there with us. And he knows what we need wherever we're at. He knows what we need wherever we're at. He knows what you need wherever you're at. Had a fellow stand there with a sign over in Switzerland, didn't he? Amen. I mean, I believe the Lord worked that out. I do. I believe the Lord works things out because he knows what you need. He even knows what I need. You know? I mean, we go through a lot of things in life, and I thought about this, and I remember some things so clearly at times. And I remember the morning I found Carrie dead, and, you know, that was a devastating thing. And later on, over in the night, early in the morning, you're wondering why and what, and but the Lord knew exactly what I needed. And he gave it to me. Does that mean I don't miss her? No. Does it mean I didn't have sorrow and grief? No. I told you before, like I told the lady at the graveyard, Lord, let me get her out of that grave and carry her home with me. I'd have carried her home right then. But he knew what I needed to give me peace in my heart. And he gave me that peace. You see, he was with me just like he's with you. Just like he's always going to be. He's never going to leave us today. even unto the end of the world. There's nowhere we can go. There's nothing that can happen that the Lord is not with us this morning. That's a great promise. Jesus is making a great promise to these folks. And he's saying to folks, he's saying, disciples, now stop and think about this just a moment. I'm sending you out. You're going to be my witnesses, my missionaries. You're going to carry my message into all the world. And no matter where you go, and no matter what happens, I'll be with you. That's a good promise today. But then notice the great power. In verse 17, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. All authority. He has all power today. He is the ruler. He is the king. He is the only potentate this morning. You see, everything has been put up under his feet. He has led captivity captive. You see, through the years, death and sin and helped men captive. But at the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, he led captivity captive. He took a hold of that and unchained us and set us free. This morning, Jesus destroyed the power of death and sin. He destroyed the power of lust and greed and jealousy and pride. He destroyed those things this morning that will destroy us. Jesus said, I've got power over everything. Now that's a VIP. That's a very important point. Everything. See, nothing's going to come at you that's not under the authority, that's not under the power of the risen Lord today. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's now had all power and all authority given unto him. That's very, very important. You see, we're engaged in this world in a time of spiritual warfare, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse number 12. We're not battling against flesh and blood. We're battling against the powers of darkness in high places, principalities. We're battling against the prince of this world. We're battling this morning against the arch enemy of God, Satan, and his demons and his demonic hordes this morning. The Bible says that Paul wrote to and said that I would have already been there, but Satan hindered me. You see, Satan will hinder us today. Satan is a hinderer today. He tries to, attempts to hinder the work of God. He's a deceiver. He deceives. Many people are under his deception rule today. They're being deceived by Satan. Satan divides. He is a divider. Every time something divisive comes up, look behind the scenes. He's a destroyer. And he uses many devices today. I was watching Dr. David Jeremiah this morning, and he read something, and so I thought that it was really good because it was going along with what I was going to say to you about the spiritual warfare. And it was, he said somebody sent this to him, and it's 12 things Satan does to get victory over Christians. Satan said to a convention of demons, As long as Christians stay close to God, we have no power over them. So here are 12 things you can do to get them victory over Christians. Number one, keep them busy with non-essentials. Keep them busy with non-essentials. Tempt them to overspend and go into debt. Make them work long hours to maintain empty lifestyles. Discourage them from spending family time together, for when their homes degenerate, there is no refuge from work. Overstimulate their minds with television and computers so they can't hear God speaking to them. Pause right there before I get to number six. But yesterday I had to meet a friend of mine in Tupelo and carry him some stuff, and we met it and eat breakfast. And after we walked outside, we were talking about a few things. And he said, I said something about the kids and how that sometimes we don't teach them responsibility today. And he said, yeah, and it's this stuff right here. He said, you notice them four young men that came in? I said, yeah. And there was four young men came in after we did, and they sat at a table over here. And all four of them had their phones out, and they weren't talking to each other. They were doing that. And I thought, isn't that something? That's the truth. We get so busy that we don't have time to listen to God. You think about that. Every once in a while, I want to just take it, throw it away. Amen. You know, I mean, I know they're necessary, and technology has some good points. I'm not against all of that. But listen to me. I think we carried it a little bit too far, don't we? Fill their coffee tables and nightstands with newspapers and magazines so they have no time to read the Bible. Flood their mailboxes with sweepstakes promotions and get-rich schemes and keep them chasing material things. Put glamour models on TV and magazine covers to keep them focused on outward appearances. That way they will be dissatisfied themselves and dissatisfied with their mates. Make Santa and the Easter Bunny bigger than Jesus to divert them from remembering the real meaning of a holiday. Involve them in good causes, though they won't have time for eternal ones. Make them self-satisfied. Keep them busy working in their own strength so they'll never know the joy of God's power working through them. Remember, keep them busy, 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 because we know what it stands for. You got to listen to this. This is pretty good. I think I'll make me a sign. It's being under Satan's yoke. You think about that. Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Now, it's not teaching us not to be busy. It's teaching us not to be too busy to have time for God. And you see, this morning the devil is after us. And we can't fight him this morning with education. We can get all the education that we can manage, and you still are not powerful enough to fight against Satan. You can't fight against him with finances. No matter how much money you can throw, you'll never fight against Satan. You can't even fight him with politics, no matter how many politicians we elect. You can't fight him with programs. You see, this morning, Satan today is more powerful than us. Satan's a religionist. He has his own church. He's had his own ministers. He has his own doctrine. He even has his own book this morning. They said, how do you know that? Well, look what Jesus said in John 8 and 44 real quickly. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, Satan today doesn't have anything to do with the truth, which is the word of God. There's no truth in him. And whatever he speaks is of his own making, of his own doing. He has his own book. And we can't fight him in that. He said, well, now wait a minute, preacher. That's why Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can't fight Satan in your own power, with your own education, with your own money, with your own politicians, with your own programs. You can only defeat Satan through the power of the Lord Jesus today. And he doesn't leave us and leave us defenseless against Satan today. He's always with us today. He's there. And when Satan begins to tempt us, to hinder us, to fight against us and battle against us, we better take advantage of that resource of the Lord and let the Lord fight the battle. Because the battle's not mine, the battle's the Lord's today. When somebody tells you, you can't do something, most people are determined to show them they can. I mean, really. Someone said the way a wife can get a husband to do anything is tell him he's too old to do it. But listen. Please listen. I see it constantly. And people say, how could Satan get such a toehold? Because they tried to fight in their own strength. If we'll only let Jesus fight that battle for us. If we'll only let Jesus, who's always with us, fight in his strength, then we can this morning see the devil will be defeated. Because greater, greater, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So when I see people overcome from the temptations of the world and the temptations of Satan, I begin to wonder, did they really take advantage of the Lord being always with them? No matter where you go, no matter where you're at, he'll be there with you. And we're involved in this spiritual conflict. And he'll be there to help us and battle through this for us this morning. And then there's a glorious premise. Amen. Amen. I like that. That means let her be. Amen. Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the world. Jesus is coming. What a wonderful day. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. That's a great premise this morning to think about. He said, I'm not never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'll be with you as you walk through this world. And then I'm coming back to get you to carry you home.
Amen.
Isn't that a great promise today? What a wonderful premise that is to base our life upon. The foundation of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm glad the Lord's always with us. I'm glad if you're a child of God, you can leave here today thinking and knowing that the Lord is with us. If you're not a child of God, there's another great promise. And he said he could save anyone to the uttermost and to come unto God by him. The Lord's with us. Always will be. Thank God for that. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Ruth and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask you this morning, Lord, that you might take this very simple message, that you might use it for the honor and glory of him that's always with us today. You made a great promise, and thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you that you walk with us and talk with us, and as we go on this journey of life, you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen.